Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Tracy, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with the recent theme of control in our year-long retreat that we just completed. Welcome, Tracy.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for being with us. So, we're each month we're focusing on a process focus, and last month it was control. And so we thought it would be fun to have someone come on and talk about their experience, what they saw, and how that was for them. So maybe you could start us off with some of the insights, some of the things you saw as you practiced with it.
Sure. Well, it was an exquisite timing. And just being in this unique time that we're in, my quote-unquote stability in terms of, my job and what I have shown up for consistently over decades, everything changed, and I found myself with just a lot more space and no income, and so in the invitation to look at control, we first got to notice what our internal dialogue was around control, and I started just to see, 100 times a day, I'd be like, I don't know, I don't know what to do, I don't know, as you could say, I don't know, and I know that, I don't know is such a rich place to, bring attention. However, right on the other side of that was, I don't know what to do. And then I noticed that there was this trying to figure out, what it was that I quote unquote needed to do. And what I really got to see that I was like, wow, this whole thing of what I need to do is all based on the past and it's not current at all right now.
And I think part of what you're pointing at is that, and this, we've all said this how many times now, right, during all of this sort of COVID-19 time, but how the circumstances were mirroring for us. In that instance, it was so obvious to you, oh my gosh, none of this is relevant. This is all in the past. And so it became so obvious, it sounds like, the ways that you're controlled, and then to realize, well, that's true all the time. It's just that it's way more obvious right now.
Oh, Jen, it's way true all the time and so much more obvious. And what I appreciate a lot of things about the year-long email class, but we focus on a behavior change that's going to, kind of get us out of that just habitual track. And what I practiced with was, there was that initial of, what now? And I was like, wow, I know I'm supposed to let go, but I don't even know, how do I let go? And so I made a recording of really just walking my body through letting go and, breathing and just being with everything kind of arising, everything, at the same time. And just, I had actually two of them, and one was under 2 minutes, one was just over. So sometimes I listen to one, sometimes both. And at first it was, I 4 times a day, and then I just decided, every time I say, I don't know what to do, I'm going to listen to it. And what was so unbelievably, so the funnest thing about it was that in that time of just completely letting go and just letting my body relax and just not doing anything, that it was just exquisite either that my, after that relaxation time, there was something in my awareness that I might not have been aware of before, or, something arose, whether a flash of a picture, or, oh, why don't you reach out, or, oh, look who's riding their bike down my street, right? Had I been thinking about what to do, I would have missed all of that.
Oh, it's brilliant. So realizing, wow, a huge way I'm controlled is in this conversation around, well, what should I do? What should I do? And it's one of those things we talk about hiding in plain sight because, well, what should I do? That doesn't seem like something that's controlling me. It's something that's trying to help me, like, find out how I should use my time and what's the best thing to do. But when we really start to look at it, we realize, oh, my goodness, not at all. It's creating the opposite. And it truly is a way that my attention is controlled, and you really, so then it drops in. Okay, well, what's something that will essentially interrupt its ability to do that? Well, I'm going to make this recording, and I love that sequence. Well, listen to it, you know, twice a day. Well, maybe four times a day. How about every time I hear, I don't know what to do? So then this really short recording, right, 2 minutes, and it has that impact of being able to just start to really profoundly, it sounds like, on every level, physically, you know, just let go, let the attention basically expand. And in that letting go, in that relaxation, the awareness does expand, and then there's just what now? It's just there. You don't have to try. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to effort. It's just there.
It's just there, Jen, and I think that it's just there. And what felt so humbling was, you know, how much is missed when there's like this me that needs to, you know, yeah, figure it out or do. And how, and I, you know, I just, it's funny. I was recording yesterday about, like, I didn't even really, like, understand what unconditional was. Like, I could kind of get in concept and of X and Y. And yesterday morning when I was looking, we had gotten a rain and everything was, like, sparkling and dew. And I thought, oh, my gosh, like, this is all here, whether I'm here or not.
Yeah.
You know, whether physically alive or just my attention is here or not. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is the unconditional. It's all here. I just have to be available to it.
Yes. And isn't that so completely, we guessed, and so many people were talking about this through the course of that month, that's the whole point of the control. We're controlled by the voices, by conditioned mind. And the way it controls us is through our attention. To tighten down that attention, and it's your example is so perfect. Well, I don't know what to do, right? That's a contraction of the attention. And the reason it's controlling us is to prevent us from receiving all that's always there available to us when our attention isn't on it, isn't on that conversation.
It's just, we say this in practice all the time, it's just so simple. It really is. And it's so brilliant. And it was what I just found so exquisite was, and the step was, oh, I just need to relax. I just need to surrender. And it's like I'm always having a hard time finding the language for it right now, but it's, you know, we talk about just, you know, like letting go, and I just know there's a place where conditioned mind can get a hold of letting go, you know.
Oh, yeah. As a doing.
And as a doing versus of just literally stopping and just literally letting everything go. And then the letting everything go, everything is there. So it's the... It's very fun.
I project you're using it as a synonym for presence. That surrender, that letting go, is the truly getting here. And here is all profoundly okay, which is that unconditional that you talked about.
Yes, it's profoundly okay. And it's in that next, you know, that next step is right there, and we don't have to go beyond that. And because then that next step is there, anyway, it was really something.
Yeah, it truly, I'm right with you, and so clear, you know. So now we're in this beautiful theme of receiving. And it just seems perfect, doesn't it? That because it's what you described. As we see through that control, as we're no longer controlled through our attention, we receive all that is in this perfect present moment.
We do, and it's so fun to record about those. That's like my favorite thing to do at night. Like right now I'm in a studio a couple hours from my home, and I was like I packed a lunch and I was in this place and I'm in a lot but things are closed and I can't be here and I can't be here. I was like, where am I going to have lunch? I'm like, oh, that looks good right there. Let's just sit on that grass. And there was this little nest that had fallen out of a tree and I was able to just so like see the intricacies of all the different materials that had been built into this nest. And it's like, there was a great, like, I don't know where I'm going to sit. Okay, good. How about here? Oh, good. Look up here. And it's just so fun.
I love that. What a great response. Yeah. How about here? How about now? How about this?
Yeah.
That's lovely. Mm. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to speak about your experience.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for the invitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add in before we end?
No, it's just in this uncertain time. What an opportunity. It's just... It's really, again, something that we may not have chosen, but this time of really being able to see what's here, whether we're here or not, is really quite exquisite.
Yes, what a good connection. Yes, exactly. Maybe we wouldn't have chosen it, but it is what is, and so we can receive the gifts from it. Yeah.
Yes, great. Great.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Tracy. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I enjoyed that conversation about control. Fabulous.
I did, too. All that doing, it is a remarkable it is a remarkable time. All times are remarkable times, of course, but this one in that way, that all of the doing that everybody is so used to doing, you're just not doing it. And and for those of us who practice, of course, then to see the opportunity that there is in that. Okay, well, I always knew that it would be a good thing to look at control, to maybe let go and drop some of the doing in favor of being, so that I can bring more attention to being. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that pretty soon. It's not right now. And now it's right now, and that's what we're required to do, and so, yeah, we can enjoy it.
Yes, yes. Sometime when I have less to do, then I'll stop doing.
Then that's right. then I'll look at doing. Right. Yeah. Well, how about now?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Good.
Now, you sound clear to me now. A moment ago, your voice was breaking up a little bit for me, so let's hope we have
a clear connection. Keep me apprised. Yeah.
Okay, great. And shall I jump into announcements?
Sure. Yeah,
that'd be great. Okay, okay. Join us this Sunday, May 17th, for an upbeat workshop featuring a dynamic recording and listening technique that will have us communing joyfully with the mentor. The We Are Never Truly Alone workshop is free of charge, but please register by 12 noon on Friday, May 15th.
Yeah, and a little reminder, I didn't know recently that I thought was very...
I'm losing you there, Sherry.
Uh-oh. All right, losing let me go perch in a window. How about
okay.
that? Am I clear?
You sound better now to me. Yep.
Better? Okay, I'll get in front of a window. These mountains. Mm. The letter that went out that said to folks, you know, this of course, like most people, Tracy just alluded to it, we have a lot more time and a lot less money. So this is, you know, this is the time of year when we are doing what we do to generate the income that's needed to keep practice going, and we're not being able to do that. So even though all these workshops, there's no charge for them because, as the letter said, we want them to be available to everybody, which is always true of practice. It's why everything we do is bargain basement price. But if people do have the wherewithal, then now would be a nice time to remember the monastery and practice and to kick in a little something to support folks so that we can keep doing it. Because like everybody, you know, if we run out of money, then we've run out of money, and that'll be the end of things for us, as well as what a lot of people are facing. So just I thought it was a good reminder for all of us. With us, with awareness practice, and with everything else, you know, that just to keep in mind that as if we are some who have are still receiving income, because a lot of people are, you know, tons of people, of course, are out of work, and lots of people aren't, and so those of us who are among those who are still able to have some income, then to remember those folks who are not in that position and to help out where we can.
Yes, and the phrase that always comes to mind for me during these conversations is to support that which supports me in that endless circle of giving and receiving, and this precious jewel that I've been given, I want that to be there for everybody else the way it was there for me when I was ready to come.
Yeah, that's a beautiful connection. Well stated. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Thank you. Taking care of our bodies and minds seems more crucial than ever while we ride out the current crisis. An at-home gentle yoga series provides support in cultivating and or strengthening a regular practice of stewarding the body. The yoga sessions, which run from May 22nd to June 12th, incorporate themes from the year-long retreat and other elements of awareness practice. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And some reminders for today. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic that's about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, Sherry, I think we're ready here.
All right, I'm ready. You're ready?
Here we go.
Who else is ready, huh?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. I think this, this is Paula in Charleston.
Hello, Paula.
Hey, Paula.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Oh, gosh, it's so good to actually be talking with you. And there's so much to share, and I'm trying to narrow it down to one topic. I think I'd like to focus on control as well. And it's just been so powerful. I think perhaps this latest focus was the most transformative one that I've experienced up to this point. Of course, I think sometimes I say that about just about every one of them, but certainly
it's Paula. Every retreat we go on is always the best retreat we've ever been on, isn't it? I don't know if it's because we're practicing along and our practice is getting deeper and we're getting clearer, and so we're seeing more and enjoying it more. Who knows? But I definitely understand that that perspective. I feel the same way. This is the best one.
Yeah.
It's the most helpful one.
Yeah. What is showing up is what I hear said all the time, and I'm truly just it's unbelievable. I mean, sometimes I think, how can it possibly get better and better and better? But it does.
Mm-hmm.
And practice just gets, it's just this ever-unfolding opportunity to experience everything that life has to offer. And there's no end to it, as far as I can tell.
I am right there with you. If there may be an end, I somehow doubt it. But it often feels that if there is, I'm nowhere near it because there's so much happening right now. Right? So
that's right.
Hard picture.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I got to see looking at control is just how often that there is an element of control that I would have said even a couple months ago, no, that's nothing to do with control. So it's like there's so much in every day, just, you know, any desire to want things to be, and I know this is a broad statement, but to be different than how they are, to want people to behave in a way that I think would make me feel better somehow. All of that, all of that I see.
Oh, Paula, now you know that that's not it. You know that we only want them to behave differently for their sake. Right? They would be so much happier if they would just ... And coincidentally, it is what I think, what works for me as well. But of course, I would never, that would never be my motivation. Takes us a while to see that, doesn't it?
It
yeah,
does.
In fact, no, this is all about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And one of the funny things that dropped in early on was that, well, I heard a voice that said, if you have to take charge. If you don't, somebody else will, and then they'll end up doing something that you don't like or is not the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
and that, again, there's a subtle one, right? It's they'll do the wrong thing. But when we've practiced long enough to realize that, no, all that voice is doing is saying, you're not going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And
which,
so there's some...
which can really stop us in our tracks, right? Because if it's the wrong thing, I think it's dangerous for people. It's be harmful. They're going to be unhappy. They're going to pay some sort of a price. That's one thing. But when it just comes down to, let's be honest about this. They're not going to do it the way that I want it done, that I think it should be done. It's not going to please me. So let's elbow that person out of the way. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And my practice is to jot these things down. And it was when I went back and read it and kind of, you know, looking at what the voice says, that it was clear. It was clear how this desire to be in control takes over.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. And again, we've talked about this a little bit on the year-long retreat, but it's doing the exercises, which is what you're pointing at. You do the exercise. You write the stuff down, and it gets it out of our head, right? Because when it's going on in my head, I've been fooled for so long, right? It just says all the things, and it just kind of puts me to sleep, and yeah. But then I write it down and read it back and go, what? is that what's really going on? No, I don't want to be a party to that. And it makes letting go of it so much easier. If I'm trying to let go of something, and deep down inside me, there's a belief that, but this is really the right thing. I mean, okay, I'll let go of it if I have to, but I don't want to. But as soon as I realize, whoa, that is ego, and it's just controlling me. Okay, I don't want to go along with that. I want to let that go.
That's so true, Sherry. I can't tell you how much it means to, you know, to just, to listen, to pay attention, to be able to really let the practice principles sink in. I heard you say one thing that I want to share, and it's very funny. I hope I can remember it, how you said it, but it was something like life gives us all these opportunities, and it will do everything to kind of keep us from suffering unless we really, really want to suffer.
Yeah, and you can see that that's true, isn't it? It really is, isn't it?
I wrote that down when I heard it.
How hard we have to work.
Yeah.
How hard we have to work to hold on, to cling to those things in our life that we know don't work, but we're going to cling to them anyway because we're not ready to let them go. Yeah.
Well,
all
I
right.
tell you,
well,
that
thank
was
you,
a
Paula.
Jewel, and I appreciate it, and it really helped me to move through suffering. So I just...
Good, good.
I'm so glad. Thank you so much, Sherry, and thank you, Michael.
You are welcome.
All
you're
the
welcome.
Sangha.
Take good care
Bye-bye
of yourself.
For now.
Stay safe.
I will.
All right.
I will. You too.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Paula. Sherry, I really appreciated that idea of doing the exercises every day, showing up, doing the work. As you said, things get revealed, even though the story is, well, I've done this exercise, I've looked at this, but every time I do it, there's something new there.
That's exactly right. That is the secret to a happy life, Michael, because what you're saying is, every time I choose to be here, I see something new. I do. I see here. And here is where happiness is.
Yes. Yes. Fabulous. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Jodine in California.
Hey,
Jodine.
Whoa, Jodine. What's going
Hi.
On?
Well, I have to say that my birthday is Sunday, and lo and behold, there's another workshop. So
happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
To you. We didn't even know
thank you,
worked out so nicely.
Yeah, and I haven't decided what to get for myself. So besides the workshop, maybe I'll get the yoga package.
Yes. Well, you know the yoga teacher. You know the yoga teacher, and so you know how good those classes are. So yeah,
I do.
That would be a nice thing to do for yourself.
So cool.
You can hum happy birthday with every class. Make it last for a month or two. Or
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I like to have a birthday festival instead of just a birthday day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A day is so small.
So I'm also looking at something that came up during the control month in the retreat, and it started on the first day when we were like framing our issue, and there was a suggestion to watch your process as you're framing your issue, because it's likely that the process controlling you doing that is actually, you know, what you want to look at, regardless of what you were writing.
So
I think I got that.
So the how it's going, right? How you're doing it? How it's how you're being guided to do the exercise? Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And and I was astounded to see that there was a very, you know, once I tuned into it, there was a very clear voice. And it was telling me that I had to make sure that I look like an angel, and the person trying to control me looks like the devil himself.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And And it was like, what is that
and
all about?
Jody, this is a real person. You're not saying the ego voice in your head that's controlling you. You
nope.
mean a real actual person.
A real person.
Is the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
And
that
like
extreme,
I can't be faulted, you know, for any of this that goes on. It's
uh-huh.
it's that other
all
person.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all
and
him.
And so I looked at that and I'm like, what is all that? And basically, it's this victim perpetrator karma.
Mm.
Right?
Wow. Mm. And so I get the victim part, right? Poor little angel, this horrible devil. And then tell me about the perpetrator. How does that little angel turn into a devil?
Well, in this particular situation, the person is the perpetrator. The external
the other
person. Yeah. However, the angel can turn into a perpetrator because if the devil is you know pushing and being you know a horrible person,
mm-hmm.
then
we
his
have
bad
the right
behavior,
to do whatever we need to do, don't we?
Yes. Yes.
We
like,
want whatever we have to do is fully justified because look at how he's being.
That word justified is exactly what I wrote and it's exactly how I feel. Like
yeah.
You know, like it's this
yeah.
like visceral, you know, I've actually called this person, this subpersonality, the executioner. It's like, get out the axe because you don't deserve to live anymore.
And the fascinating part about that, Jodine, at least for me, and we'll see if it is for you, is that there's when we're in that cycle, there's no awareness at all that, wait a minute, I am being exactly the way I'm accusing him of being. I don't care about him. He doesn't matter. I feel contempt for him. If he died on the spot, I wouldn't care. And it doesn't even flag us that, wait a minute, this way that I feel right now, as far as I can tell, could possibly be worse than what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, or it's definitely as bad as what I projected, you know, he was doing
yeah.
in the whole setup.
Yeah. And yet I remain completely innocent because, hey, I'm not even reacting, right? I'm just responding appropriately to what's being done to me.
Oh, Sherry, you know this place so well.
You'd think
yeah,
I had
no.
been there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
But let me condense this part of it then. So I see that. I see how much I'm in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of practicing with it, the first place I went to is like, does this victim person who was generated in my life through events that maybe were kind of unfair or were definitely I lost things to people and
mm-hmm.
situations and
mm-hmm.
and there's this resentment that
mm-hmm.
that you know conditioning can drag up but so there was that, and thinking, like, what about, you know, recasting what happened as, like, I was a hero in these situations in my life. It wasn't that perpetrators got the best of me or whatever, like,
right.
you know, change the energy to it.
Yeah. May I offer you another alternative?
Sure.
Okay. That's going to be a lot less labor-intensive. But I'll tell you a quick story. I've again, you've probably heard it, but you remember Walter, our friend Walter.
Yes.
So he told this was his version of it, right? So here you've got a lifetime, and you're a woman, which clearly you are, and as a woman, you know, you really resent men. They have it so easy. They've got all the power. They can just throw their weight around. They make all the decisions. And we women, we just have to go along with it. Just suck it up and go along with it. Boy, in my next life, I'm going to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
Here you come. Here you come as a male. And you look out at women and say, those women, they have it so easy. They get their way with everything. They don't have to fight for anything. They can just, they just need to cry. And everybody gives them what they want. All they're required to do is be attractive. They don't even have to perform at anything.
Oh, my God.
My next lifetime, I'm going to be a woman. And of course, you know, the way that goes is that finally a person wakes up and says, you know, nobody has it easy. So the application with your situation is to realize how long that victim perpetrator has been going on. That all those people who we could have looked at and said, yeah, they were perpetrators in your situation, and you were the victim. But in their mind, they were the victim, and they were just justified in acting the way they were acting because of what had happened to them. And just start tracing that back through the generations. And where would it all begin? You know, Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve. Because that process goes on with everyone. So the devil in your little scenario feels like a victim. I can promise you. I can promise you. Right? And is only acting the way he's acting because he's justified with what he suffers and what he has to put up with and how hard his life is then. Yeah. And so when we start taking that longer view of these things, we can get to the place of saying, you know what, I'd like this to end with me because it can. I think I'm not going to play that ego game any longer. I think I'm not going to divide the world up that way. I think I'm going to start seeing that everybody feels like a victim. Everybody is sometimes a perpetrator. And just see what else is possible when I'm not looking at the world through those lenses.
All right, where we then are just ready to drop it when it comes up. Like, I want to be done with that. I am done with that.
I am done with that. I am not a victim. And I don't need to be a perpetrator. I'm not a victim at all.
Yeah.
And exploring that, exploring how you are not a victim, is truly a place of power. Okay?
All right. Wow. Thank you so much.
Let me know.
Okay. I will. Okay. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. And yes, Sherry, it does feel like a powerful place to explore how I'm not a victim and take responsibility for my life instead of blaming everyone else.
Yes, because that is a victim position. It's so powerless. And just the way you just phrased it, it's so obvious that it's an internal process. Right? That I'm the one victimizing me by living in those stories, right? So even if somebody came up and said, oh, God, I can't stand you. You are such a jerk. Well, you know, I could feel victimized by that if I wanted to or not. And the only way I could be victimized is by making that mean something, make it mean something about me, take it personally, take it on, replay the story, tie it to all of the other things that have happened to me in my life and make this a part of a long tale of woe. Or I could just go, wow, this person's having a bad day.
Right.
Probably has a stomach ache.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Sherry, we're going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, this is Kim calling from Vashon. Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Kim.
Hello, Kim. What's going on?
Well, I was just really reveling in that last call because it kind of relates to my question for tonight. So my practice at night now is to pull a card from the What Universe Are You Creating deck and mm-hmm. do a recording with it, which has been really calming and wonderful and centering. And so last night I pulled Unconditional Love. And so part of the exercise was to record about who you love unconditionally in your life, and don't only restrain that to people. So I went through and recorded about everything that I love in my life. But one thing that happened was that my partner was not included in that list. And that was very striking to me. And I feel I'm wondering about that.
And Kim, at what point did you notice that?
Well, I think it's about the unconditional part.
Like, no, I mean, when you're going along and you're thinking of who and what is on that list, mm-hmm. At what point did you realize your partner wasn't on it? Did you start to write down the name and then go, hear a voice that goes, no. Or did it just not occur to you at all?
No. It was like, well, I wonder if why, you know, I was like, well, my dogs are on it. My friends are on it. You know, Sherry Huber's on it. And like, who do I love unconditionally? And then this person's not on there, and.
But Kim, what I want to know is, did you start to write down the name, and then you heard the voice say,
yes,
no,
yes, yes.
Okay, all right, because that's important. Yes. I keep going back to that because that is really, that's the crux of the matter. Because what you need to know is, who's that?
Yeah, who is that? I mean, that is that mm-hmm. projection? Like, that's the other thing I was thinking. And again, like, I think every call, I always talk about this double reverse projection. Is there a part of me that I'm not accepting that I see, you know, in this person who I can't love unconditionally? Is that an aspect
right.
of...
Well, I rather than trying to figure it out, mm-hmm. I think you will figure it out, but... mm-hmm. But rather than approaching it from that perspective, I would go with something like a two-handed recording mm-hmm. and let her talk about what goes on with her, why that's the case. What is the, comparing say the dogs.
Well, I did that. And what came out of it was the dog accepts me unconditionally. But I don't think that the other person accepts me unconditionally. And hence, it was sort of like the last call. I don't accept them unconditionally, or that's conditioning, all of it.
Yes. And it's really interesting, Kim. It's such a rich place in practice, because when does that happen? So again, the little story, when I went to the monastery where I trained, I was just in heaven, right? I mean, I worked to get into that place. I worked, cause my teacher didn't just say, oh, sure, come on, right? It took me like a year and a half of hard work to convince him that he should accept me as a student, right? And so then I got there, and I swear it was 6 weeks. And those people who were there, that one was my father, that one was my brother, that Ooh. One was my, okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was compelling, attention getting, because how did that happen, right? Because as far as I could tell, they didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I had to face the fact that maybe I had changed. So in looking at that, where does that begin? Is it that he doesn't accept you unconditionally? You don't accept him unconditionally? Who started that ball rolling? Now, it is what happens in relationships. Right? So we meet somebody, we fall in love, oh, we're just in heaven, and they're perfect, we're perfect, everything is perfect, and then this is the imago business, mm-hmm. right? Where mm-hmm. suddenly then he says something that hurts my feelings, and I close down a little, and then I say something that upsets him, and he closes down, and pretty soon, you know, we are our parents, or we're right back with every other relationship that we've ever been in, because now I'm running my stuff, and you're running your stuff, and we're running into our stuff. So rather than believing that there's any truth to any of that, we can start breaking it down on a process level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So what would happen, say, just now, Don't get crazy here, okay? You don't have to jump into this tonight. But what would happen if you decided to love him unconditionally? If you decided that you were not going to take personally the things he said, you were not going to assume that he was judging you, that you were going to see if you could let him be him and accept him.
Okay, so what immediately drops in is the fear that then if I do that, he'll leave. He's going to leave, and then I just make myself so vulnerable in that moment.
Uh-huh. If you love him unconditionally, he'll leave.
And it will be so painful that I won't be able to stand it. But then then the duality comes back in. Like, well, maybe you'll be better off because he doesn't love you unconditionally. And, you know, it's just so funny. It's
yeah.
so fast. That's really
yeah, yeah.
fruitful. That's
and
really,
so bogus. So bogus,
yeah.
right? Because,
yeah.
Kim, the thing that is so wonderful about this is that if you learn to love him unconditionally, first of all, you can't love him unconditionally without learning to love you unconditionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you do that and he leaves, well, you've just added two unconditional loves in your life.
Yeah.
You'll probably be fine.
And that's the process that I want to live in anyway. I mean, I tell myself that for everything. I choose unconditional love.
Yes.
That's my, I turn to presence and I choose unconditional love. And so,
well,
so it's
Kim,
surprising.
Kim, you can understand then. Where is ego going to draw a line and say, your whole life can't be unconditional love. There's got to be somewhere that ego can still have power over you. And so there it is.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Don't you think?
I think
you are so.
So welcome. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. Thank you so much.
It is exciting, isn't it? Now you might want to go into it gradually because you don't want to throw him into a state of shock. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. Unconditional love. Here we come. Huh, Sherry?
Oh, only way to go, huh? Yeah.
Yes, yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller. You're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan from Ventura.
Hey, Susan.
Hello, Susan. Hi. Must be almost to the top of the hour.
You know, I thought the exact same thing. I looked at my watch. I thought, okay, it's towards the end. It's my turn. Sure enough.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm calling mostly just to check in, say, hi, I'm here, I'm well, things good, life is good. I just start after
good.
A while, and I haven't checked in to feel like a planet orbiting off in some other universe. So what I've been paying attention to, I mean, the year-long retreat around receiving, and today I was doing the exercise, and what I realized is receiving it for me is such a vulnerable thing. You know, like I could go to war, I could risk this, I could do that, I could confront, but to just, you know, like, I don't know, there's like, I'm not in control.
Heart gets all soft and gooey, and your defenses fall down. And
well, and you know, the other thing is sort of this big feminist story, like I'll become dependent and passive and unproductive, and you know, just wither away and eating bonbons and watching TV. You know, and it really goes back to you know, not wanting to sort of end up like my mother and that whole role. And so I've just gone to the other side of the duality. So, yeah, I hadn't ever seen that kind
Susan,
of book.
There's a lot of background noise. Hang on just a second. Michael, are you hearing that?
Yes, I am. And I'm not sure.
Not for mine. It sounds like there's a dog there.
Yeah, let me just try something here. I think it might be from Kim, and yet I don't see her in the queue here.
Oh, Kim, if you can hear us, mute yourself, girl.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds better.
That's
thank you,
better.
Kim.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Kim.
Yeah.
Okay, Susan.
Oh,
me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this.
What?
Did it feel like your mother really received, or was she
good point.
Playing a role?
Well, you know, she was kind of a mother of the 50s and 9 children and Catholic and a really powerful sort of dictatorial husband and, you know, that kind of, you know, madman kind of scene. I don't know if she received, but I have receiving sort of unconsciously, I didn't realize it today, associated with then becoming that person. I'm almost 70. It's probably hasn't happened yet, probably not going to happen, but still, you know, that part of me still has that sort of story running. And
right,
yeah,
which is why, again, as we've been talking about, it's wonderful when we do the exercises. Right,
yeah.
Because those things that are just kind of running in the background get brought into conscious awareness, and that's where they begin to lose their power over us, right? Because you don't have to eat bonbons and watch soap operas. Thank God you didn't wind up with 9 kids, right? Although they've grown now and they'd all have kids, and it'd be kind of fun, perhaps. I don't know. You know, those two things don't have to be associated, and certainly not at this point in your life. As you say, you know, you doubt that too much of your mother's life is going to play out in your life, and yet you would like to be able to receive all of your life.
Yeah. And it, there's and in there too is this piece around being worthy and there was some other piece that was just and there's also something about humility, you know, like I am not running the show, even if our ego's not. I think that I am. I'm not totally in control. Good things can come to me, and bad things can, you know, just giving up control and having the humility actually to receive. There's something grandiose about never receiving when I play it out, like, oh, I don't need anything, rah, 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 you know. And I didn't feel bad about
which
myself.
Which makes it very nice for ego.
Right? Oh, yeah.
But the thing about it is with this whole deserving thing that so many people struggle with, mm-hmm. you know, it wouldn't be ours if it weren't ours.
Yeah.
So deserving is really the ultimate red herring. It has nothing to do with what's going on.
I have to think about that one. You mean because it's just happening the way it happened?
That's right. So if I said that if I you're old enough to remember that old television show the Millionaire.
Yeah.
So you know I send whatever his name was up to your door to give you a check for $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my choice, and I sent the check. It has nothing. If you said, "Oh no, I don't deserve this," well, that is completely off the point.
I think for me, what it raises is this: no, I'm in control of everything, you know, and not consciously, but unconsciously.
That's right. That's
like
right. And that's the kind of thing we get to see.
God only knows what's out there for me. What triggered it was my son called me over the weekend and said, "What do you want for Mother's Day?" And my first response is, "Oh, I don't want anything, la, 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 la." And I thought, you know what? What is that about? You know, like you're not even allowing him the opportunity to give to you. Like, what? And so it's just, and so I said, "Oh, okay, I'll put it on Amazon. Here's what you can get me." Because it was just that rejection of receiving, even when someone says, I want to do this, you know.
I want to do something for you. I love you. I don't know what would make you happy. Tell me what would make you happy so that I can provide that for you, because my happiness would come from knowing that I've made you happy. And then ego, of course, would be delighted to say, no, don't do that, right?
Yeah. And again, it's that kind of, I even hearing you repeat it, I can feel the vulnerability in saying yes. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, oh my God, he really does love me. He cares. He took the initiative, instead of whatever that other thing is that just push it away, push it
and,
away,
and
push
so
it away.
And so, Susan, why? Let's not call it vulnerable.
Okay, well, what? Give me another word.
Let's call it open-hearted or loved or
willing.
Because there's really nothing vulnerable about it. He loves you.
Yeah.
Again, it's like the $1 million, you know. He loves you. That is a fact.
Mm.
And so you receiving that fact doesn't change a single thing, except in one case you feel loved and open-hearted and happy, I'm guessing, and in the other you don't get to have any of that.
And that's a really old story. You know, because then I can be bitter or resentful or, you know, and I'm not even putting myself down, but that has a whole story that goes with that.
Well, it's back to Jodine. You know, it's the victim perpetrator. How can I keep these stories alive? How can I listen to these ego stories if I open my heart and take in all of the goodness of life? Well, I can't, so I just need to close that door, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
What would I be without my stories? You know, what would I talk to myself about on a quiet afternoon?
Yeah. And it is what would I be, and how could I control?
What would I be? Who would I be?
And could I be safe? God, I don't know. You know, that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Yes, and which again would be a great one to break down in the way we've broken these other ones down. Because safety has nothing to do with it. Nothing. If it did, then closed-hearted people would never die. They would never get sick. Right? They'd never lose anything.
Yeah.
But all they have is a closed heart. And then they get old, and they get sick, and they die. Just like people with open hearts. So there's no safety about it. There's no deserving about it. There's no vulnerability about it.
I'm going to call that boy
and tell him how much you love him.
Well, first I have to cry, and then I can get to the other part. Just hello, and then cry like, okay, that's all I had to say, goodbye. And he would expect it to be like, oh, that is her. Oh, thanks. I'm going to remember that term. That distinction is powerful, so I'm going to take that.
Okay.
I'm going to receive that distinction. Thank you.
You're going to receive it. Way to go. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Good
Thanks,
night.
Michael.
Take care.
Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Susan. Another great conversation, Sherry, about receiving, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's anybody listening in to us who doesn't know that it's still possible to join the year-long retreat, let's make that clear right now. And the whole thing is prorated, so you don't even have to pay for those 2 months that you didn't get to have.
Wow, great.
I know. Isn't that good?
And what's good is we have time for one more caller here.
Oh, excellent.
All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine. What's going on?
I am looking at the process. It's a process of victim, being a victim and being angry, rageful. And the target, it's a process, an old process, the current target being a leading political figure. And looking at projection in that, and what I'm wondering about is when underneath that or beyond that, when that's dropped, what my experience is well-being, and I'm not even interested. So all of the things that seem so big and huge and important when I'm caught in that process and need to change and ought to be different, and what was wrong with life that it would, and all of that, and then when I've seen it and I've moved, made some movement there, and it's like, there's not an activist there. There's not anybody. It's like there's nothing going on. And I'm just wondering if, like, it's all just so bogus. It is bogus, but I think what I am used to believing is that when I feel all those feelings, it means I care. And so when I'm not feeling that, do I not care?
Well, it depends. There is a big, as I'm fond of pointing out to people, very often people feel like if they're outraged, they're doing something. Mm-hmm. When actually all they're doing is adding a bunch of bad energy to the world. So if instead of being outraged, people would take that energy and turn it into making a difference, that could be helpful, right? So maybe you feed somebody who's hungry, or you volunteer at a haha, or you decide to whatever it is that speaks to you, that actually speaks to your heart. And what people believe is that if they're not angry and upset, there won't be any energy to make whatever change they see it should be made, which is not true. But it does take a different kind of it takes a very different orientation to want to contribute or participate when you don't believe there's anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there's any, you know, any real harsh desire to, on my part, to actually do anything or try to make things better.
My encouragement would be not to try to figure it out. Because that's just going to throw you right back in the ego game. But if just to watch the process. And so it sounds like the being angry and upset is in the past. Is that the case? Or is it an undulations kind of thing? Sometimes you're there and sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're there and sometimes you're not.
I think there's been a shift. Things feel different. Uh-huh. I'm not. I can't say. Oh yeah. I'm not. I never get caught in that.
I'm cured.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. But for right now, it feels like there's a change.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, my encouragement would be to enjoy the change, because you know there's a very old spiritual orientation that encourages us to work out our own salvation diligently, mm-hmm. and trust that the intelligence that animates all life is equal to the task.
Ah, yes.
And okay, so that you know that is a that's a, as I say, an old and well established orientation to life, which may be one that you would choose to pursue at least. For now, since this change seems to have happened, be a good mm-hmm. time to explore that rather than leaving where you are to kind of noodle about another mm-hmm. possibility.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I forgot to trust life. I forgot that one. It's not all up to me.
That's right. On either side, right? It's not all up to you. There, we can just end that right there. It's mm-hmm. not. And so now what you're exploring is, so where are you?
mm-hmm.
Now that you've realized it's not all up to you, well, what now? And then that's an exploration of now, not of applying some past insight into an imaginary future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't have to figure out how it's going to be okay. Yeah, how am I now? Now that I have shifted from that rage process, at least to an extent, then who am I? Yeah.
That's right. What's going on now? What opportunity does this open up? And it's handy, isn't it, that we're on receiving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it sounds like there is much to be received in that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, well, thank you so much.
And the reason I say that, Catherine, is because rage requires a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's a lot of energy, and it happens to be your energy
mm-hmm.
for you to receive and enjoy as you choose.
Mm-hmm.
rather than having its use dictated.
So I can receive the gift. Yeah, and I was really appreciating the conversation about exploring how I'm not a victim. And really, I'm very drawn to that. I think that's part of the receiving.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and we can call it power if we want to. That's what you're receiving. But we could also more easily, perhaps, and happier, more happily, call it love.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yes. Have a good time.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Thanks, Catherine.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And that seems like a fitting way to end the show, Sherry, with love.
With love.
Unconditional
Always
love.
Always with love.
Yes, yes. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, and thank all of our callers and listeners, and I'm very grateful. And go happy.
Me too. All right. Go happy.
Bye-bye. Bye.